Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 16th of May. I'm your host, Paul White. The DDP comes at you every single day. We don't really have a set in time. It seems like I teach between 7 and 8, 9 minutes maybe. But that's not all we post. We post a weekend sermon. I put one up every Sunday from somewhere on the road, teaching venues, churches, sometimes even one that I record in my home for either home group meetings or one that I feel like our audience might appreciate. You can check those out. They're all available for free. Same place you can find the DDP. Tell your friends and family about it. We've got a lot of home groups that meet and watch our stuff, us along with other ministries, and it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing in those places as these groups come together and enjoy the gospel of grace. Let's follow up from yesterday where we were dealing with that great 13th verse, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." I want to take the 14th and 15th verses into our discussion today. That last phrase, however, "with love you serve one another," Paul shows the contrast of using your liberty in a bad way versus using your liberty in a good way. So the bad way would be as an occasion to the flesh. That's your liberty being used to do chaotic things. And these chaotic things cause you problems, and you're free to do them, but you're also free to suffer the consequences. Don't blame it on God. Don't say God's mad. Don't say God's judging you. Although if that helps you frame what's going on, God gets a black eye in the scenario, but he's a big boy and he can handle it. The reality is you're going through some hell of your own devising. And so whenever you use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, you do damage to yourself and you possibly do damage to your neighbor, which is maybe the greatest way to abuse your liberty. If you want to use your liberty as a way of showing liberty in its highest form, Paul says that is use liberty to love, to serve one another with love. Service is the greatest expression of liberty. Service is your personal responsibility. Service does not define your righteousness. It does not create your righteousness. You are not justified through your service, but you serve because you are righteous and you serve because you are justified. And it is not a matter of going to just serve the Lord, but it's serving your neighbor. And by serve, I of course don't mean worship or bow down to, but I mean put yourself at the behest and the service of your neighbor. Do what you can to make your world a little better place. If all of us simply treated our neighbor the way we wish we were treated, if we simply loved them the way we wish they would love us, and if you did that, you probably wouldn't want to cheat them, because you don't like being cheated. You probably wouldn't cheat on them because you don't like being cheated on. You probably wouldn't lie to them because you don't appreciate being lied to. You probably would help them where you can because there are times you need help. You probably would hold them up when they fall because you appreciate someone holding you up when you fall. Even if you did these things because you like them being done to you. Wow, what a release that would be on the planet. That would be the equivalent of spreading the kingdom on the earth. That would be, or at least, maybe not the equivalent, but at least the expression of spreading the kingdom on the earth through love serving one another. 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So Paul grabs the highest qualification under the law and says all the law really was trying to get you to do is treat people better. It's why it's don't lie, don't steal, don't lust. Why? Because you don't like people doing that to you. And your world is a worse place when you lie and when you cheat and when you steal. I hope that we've established this foundation in our teaching and in the expression of the gospel, that doing bad doesn't make you bad. Doing wrong doesn't make you unrighteous. But now that you're righteous, you have a better understanding of why you don't want to do some of those things. Because the consequences are the same. When you lie to people, they still come back and hurt you, even though you're the righteousness of God in Christ. When you cheat on them, they cut you. These are not consequences we want to walk into willy-nilly. We need our head up, know what we're doing. So when we love our neighbor as ourselves, we fulfill everything the law expressed. This is why Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, and or he's not. If Jesus loved us and served us, remember he said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. He laid down his life for his friends. Thus, he fulfilled the law's greatest commandment. Because he was in service of us. Jesus used his liberty, not as an occasion to the flesh, but he used his liberty to serve the nation of Israel, and then in a greater way, to serve the world outside of Israel, which is what the cross accomplishes. Jesus has the opportunity in the wilderness to use his liberty as an occasion to the flesh. He can turn the stones to bread. He can jump off the cliff and have angels catch him. He can receive the world as an inheritance without paying for it at the cross. He can do all of these things and give occasion to the flesh. And the moment that he does them, he doesn't serve us with love. And therefore, he would have broken the law and been disqualified to do anything on our behalf. 15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware. Beware what? If you're looking at it, you know that's not the last word. If you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you burn in a devil's hell. No, that's not what it says. Beware, lest you be consumed by one another. So what is Paul's warning? Paul's warning is, if you do not treat your neighbor with love, dignity, and respect, the fulfillment of the law by serving him, if you abuse your liberty by abusing your neighbor, if you lie to them and you cheat them and you steal from them, you will be consumed by them. He doesn't say God will come and get you. God won't need to. Your neighbor will. God won't need to come and get you. Chaos will come and get you. So grace empowers us, gives us the responsibility of looking our neighbor square in the face and telling the truth and honoring them and respecting them and loving them. Gives us that responsibility as we raise our children, as we encounter the world, as we go through this on a day-to-day basis. And as we do that, we start to realize that this thing inside of us, this kingdom that's been planted in us, is far more than just an eternal possession, a place we get to go to when we draw our last breath. It is a place we can begin to create, an environment we can begin to condition simply by speaking life into our neighbor instead of death. And if we want to see chaos in our life on the planet, stop treating your neighbor the way you wish you were treated, and start treating your neighbor as an occasion to express your liberty on them in the flesh, that I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, because I'm free and no one's going to tell me otherwise. And the moment that you open that door, you invite the snake that's in the garden to dwell in your house, and you invite a chaos that will eat you alive. That has nothing to do with law and grace. That has everything to do with being human. But you are more than a mere man. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the sons of God. By God, let's live like it. See you tomorrow. God bless.